The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Sudden alteration in belief systems, moodiness, and confusion are natural side effects of listening to this podcast. Enjoy at your own risk.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in here. So happy you guys are taking the time to once again welcome me into your ears. I'm so thankful for that opportunity. Christmas is here, and I know every single day you get to spend with me and I get to spend with you is supposed to be a gift, but what if I told you there's angels watching out for all of us? But before we get into that, I just want to say something. I have an angel. That's right. It's Accusanus. Accusanus have done amazing things for me this last 2 years. Not only are they one of the few people out there who are still sponsoring us humble podcasters during a pandemic, but they really do make me sound way, way better than I actually am at this. Like, I tell you, all I want for Christmas is two clues about how to audio edit. I am just a total stink at it. I'm going to be honest. And maybe you're not that great at it either. So what do? You give Accusanus a try. This is software you put right on your computer, which will help you, with the turn of a knob, take all the jingle bells out of the background of your noise. That's right. They actually help you clean up your audio with a simple turn of a knob. Guys, there is no better audio editor out there, especially for someone like me who, well, it's a good thing I'm good looking because I kind of needed the Cole's notes just to be able to read this right now and tell you guys that this is not for seasoned podcast editors who are audio engineers. This is for the layman like myself. So please give Accusanus a chance. They're a wonderful sponsor and we'll leave it at that. They can be your angel in the background for you and no one even knows about that, hey? Speaking of angels, helping us ring in the Christmas season, so to speak, or whatever it is you celebrate, you know, I always think of those famous words. You know, angels we have heard on high. Some of us can't really hear them. But what if I told you tonight's guest could actually help us open our ears and our minds to that idea? Do you believe in guardian angels? Do you believe there's an angel out there watching over your shoulder right now, making sure that you're safe? I happen to think so. And I'm happy to kind of believe that people could have even more than one guardian angel. But that's beside the point. Tonight's guest is the author of, my goodness, well, she's actually the author of many books, but she contributed to a few too. But the ones in particular I'd like to focus on tonight are Vibrant Living, Braving the Pandemic with Help from Your Guardian Angel. She also wrote the, you know, titular one you'll see in the title of our podcast when this releases, Angels in Waiting, How to Reach Out to Your Guardian Angels and Spirit Guides. Guys, tonight's guest is none other than Robbie Holtz. Robbie, thank you so much for taking the time to be here on the Odd the Newfoundland. How you doing?
Great. Nice to be here talking to you.
Oh, man, I tell you, I looked at that intro and I was like, I don't want to talk about your husband right away. But the feeling I'm getting is that I probably should. And I think it's a massive piece of who you are and why you do what you do. I just have to ask that question you've probably had a lot of times, Robbie. How in the heck did you get involved with angels?
I should be prepared for the answer for that because it is a question I get all the time. You know, my late husband, Dr. Gary Holtz, was a physicist. I know we didn't want to talk about him, but we'll talk about him for just a second. He was a world-renowned, award-winning physicist, and he went into the outback to be around Aboriginal healers in the remote Australian outback. And when he was there with them, and this is a scientist, right? Pretty much black and white world. Gray doesn't exist unless you can prove it. When he was with the tribes people, they taught him, and he became able to see angels and spirit guides just like they could. And so he came back in 94 having had that experience. And from then on, as this scientist started believing the gray area, which I'm sure you know much about, it exists even if we can't prove it. So he started to be able to communicate with angels and guides, and I'm talking about benevolent guides here. And when I married him, I met him in 2001, and he woke me up to this world. And it's kind of interesting. When he passed, John, that's when I started realizing I also had the ability to communicate with them because he was so good at it. It's like, why would I do that when I've got this guy who's fabulous at communicating to them? But when he passed in 2007, He started, and this was news to me. I had no idea this was going to happen. He started showing up every morning at 8 o'clock after he passed. And he did this for weeks, every single day at 8 o'clock. And that woke me up to the ability to communicate to the other side of the veil like he's been doing, and recognizing that there's a lot of help there and that we have access to that. And so that's what kind of opened me up and started me on this path.
I just right away when I read some of this, obviously I do my best to research my guests, especially someone, you know, of your stature yourself. I want to make sure that you're well taken care of on air. And when I looked over some of the things, I said, my goodness, I don't want to talk about anybody who's passed on. But then I realized, wait a second, she talks to angels.
Yeah,
we kind of right? got no choice. And I really, really feel a connection right away with you both. And the reason why is because when I became a paranormal investigator, I came into it as an atheist. Very much the analytical mind of, I'm here to show you that this is not actually ghosts. And when I was done with it, I had to hang up the recorder because I believed too much. At some point, I had to distance myself from it because I could no longer be unbiased. So it's really refreshing to know there's other people out there. Same journey, just different path. Very interesting stuff. So what's some of the things that he was, you know, being taught by that Australian tribe?
Well, he went into the outback because he had MS. He had multiple sclerosis, and he was in a wheelchair. He actually was a quadriplegic, and he was given about a six-month death sentence before he was going to pass. And so Gary had heard that the outback Aboriginal tribes people had amazing healing abilities. So if you knew Gary, it's not a surprise that he went in his wheelchair, unloaded his cargo from the plane, and went into the remote outback to be with these tribes people. And they... You know, the Aboriginal people that I'm talking about that are really secluded and safeguarded in this vast, vast outback of Australia, they have been passing on their healing wisdom for you know, at least 60,000 years old. They're the oldest continuous culture on the planet. And they, when Gary went there, he was with them a short period of time, but it was enough that it changed him dramatically. And he came back with feeling in his body that he hadn't had in 7 years. He lived many years after that. And they taught him their healing practices and asked him, because he was a well-respected physicist, they asked him to take this information out into the world, their secrets, their healing secrets, because we didn't understand how healing worked, especially Western civilization. So that's what we did. He wrote this book. He promoted their healing methods and information. And, you know, shocked me, John. I after he passed in 2007, I had Secrets of Aboriginal Healing published really in his honor to get that out, this information of his journey into the outback. And I was shocked to see that it's in over 43 countries because people resonate to that. So there's so much beautiful wisdom that the Aboriginal people have given us. But that's one of the things that they gave us was their healing secrets and asked us to take it out.
I think that's a really wonderful story. And once again, another story that resonates with me so much because my father, renal cancer patient, year 14 on the way here, still defying all odds, still shocking medical science. And I'm telling you right now, it's not just the cancer drugs. It's his devout faith and his prayer life. It has a lot to do with this. And this is why I wanted to have you on my show so very badly. I knew that we could connect on that. And maybe not so much as focus on the idea that, wow, we can talk to angels, but what are they truly capable of? And this is where we expand into our conversation. And I'm so thrilled to have that here tonight and to let people also kind of relate to you and your own story as well. Because unfortunately, you also had a quote unquote mishap with a medical procedure. Modern medicine kind of failed you. And this is how we kind of go on to our next part of the show here. How and what happened to you?
Well, when I delivered my son back in 85, it had a rough delivery. It was over 30 some hours. And so they ended up giving me a blood transfusion because they said it would perk me up faster. And I had no idea back in 85 what I was doing with getting a blood transfusion that really wasn't necessary back then. And it had hepatitis C in it. Of course, they didn't even have testing for hepatitis C. And if they didn't have testing, they certainly didn't have treatment. So the hepatitis C almost killed me. And I was determined to stay alive as long as I could, just so my young son would remember me. You know, I knew he was too little to remember me as a parent. And I think every parent can understand you want to be around at least as long as you can, to parent them, if nothing else, so they'll have memories of who their mother was. So when Western medicine, the doctors here, I lived in the Seattle area at the time, they happened to be doing a lot of research in the Seattle area for hepatitis C, and I ended up on experimental treatments, and the experimental treatments almost killed me a second time. So at this point, I was left, I still had the hepatitis C raging in my system. Now I had chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and temporary brain damage. And I was in bed, I can't remember, John, but it was at least 5 or 6 months, couldn't get out. So at this point, Western medicine had nothing for me, and I needed to find a way to survive. Like Gary, I was very desperate for answers. And I ended up healing myself of what the doctors at that point said was incurable, the hepatitis C. And I healed myself of all these things. And it as it turns out, it's the same things that the Aboriginal people describe how to heal, that the emotions are very connected to the body, that the soul has an influence on these things as well. And so it's a body-mind-spirit connection. And I healed myself of all of these things. And the research doctors actually followed me for years. They would take, oh, gosh, you know, 8 test tubes of blood from me at once a year just to see how things were going. And they said, yeah, you've healed it. So that's what put me on that journey of waking people up to the fact that they are incredibly powerful healers, and to take your power back like your father did, you know?
Absolutely. And which is all those bells and whistles are going off in my mind right now, because that's exactly what Dad did. He just shocked the medical community. Medical science can't explain why he's still alive and kicking and listening to the show right now, more than likely.
Hi, Dad.
Go Detroit Red Wings. Woohoo. You know, which kind of brings me to my next part of this. So, you know, Gary, or Dr. Holtz, we'll call him, he goes out into this Australian outback. He hangs out with this tribe, and yet they're still speaking to angels, which, you know, right off the bat, to me, always comes up as a Christian type thing. I'm a devout Christian myself. It's kind of like, huh, wait a second, there's angels on both sides of the spectrum here. I didn't know there was different cultures that liked angels. They might have had their own version, but I think that's so interesting. So what's the connection there? Like, do you think that the world religions, like, I know we're getting into some pretty heavy topics right now, but this is a late night show, so we're going to be okay.
Okay, great.
I, you know, what is the correlation here? Because there's so many different religions. There's so many different, you know, avenues for spirituality. But we always do seem to come back to some basics, you know, like there's a communicator and there's a source. And I just like to think, I'd just like to know what your take is on that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Gary had those conversations when he was in the outback with the tribes people, and they were talking about how in your culture, meaning our culture, angels are making a comeback. There's television shows about them. They're much more talked about than they had been. And they really woke Gary up to the fact that, because I'm sure he had never even thought about angels before, right? But when he was out in the outback, he was able to experience them and see them and communicate to them, which he continued to do after he came back to the States in 94. But one of the things that I think is interesting is that if you go all through history and all these different religions, angels have always been around, and we've always talked about it, and there's many different belief systems, especially when you get into different religions, but so many of them support angels, that there's belief systems about angels. They've always been there, and it, no matter how far back you go. So it's interesting how we will, you know, create myths about them or these stories about them, but sometimes there's this underlying truth about it. And you don't have to be religious. You don't have to be spiritual for angels to be there for you. You know, that's one of the things I talk about in Angels in Waiting, both books, actually, Vibrant Living as well. Angels, whether you believe in them or not, whether you realize they're there or not, you have at least one guardian angel by your side at all times, 24/7, from your first breath to your very last breath. So it doesn't matter what your belief system is. This beautiful, benevolent guardian is there by your side.
Interesting stuff. So right now, there's a guardian angel next to me, and he or she is watching over me. That's a good question. I mean, totally basic question, but, you know, are angels all girls? Are angels all guys? What do they identify as? Like, if I was an angel and I was going to stand up and identify myself, like, hi, you know, my name is John, and I'm an angel, and I identify as he, and like.
I think that's a great question. I love that. Nobody's ever asked me that before. Well, they have different energies to them. I mean, they're celestial beings of light and energy. some of them will have sort of a more of a male energy to them. Others will have more of a feminine energy to them. Some people have two, because I do consultations with people. I have been for a long time. And so I will connect and find out who's with them, who their guardian angels are. And it's not even uncommon to have two females, two males, one male, one female. It's just a wide variety. You can't read into the reason why that is. It's just that they're there. But I think it's important, John, for the listeners to know, guardian angels have a different role than most angels or even benevolent spirit guides. Guardian angels are there to make sure that you are not harmed or killed or injured or experience something if it's not your soul's intention. That's why they're called guardians. So this is a free will planet, but they have permission to step in and intervene our free will if it's going to make sure that we are not harmed or killed or experience something that our soul doesn't want. So guardian angels have a little different relationship, and they are also the easiest to communicate to. They're like the gatekeepers. They're like the first responders. You don't need to go beyond that, but just know that they're there loving you. Can I say this, John? People think that they have this misconception that guardian angels get frustrated with them, they give up on them, they get impatient or angry. That is not the case. These are incredibly loving beings who don't have those kind of emotions. They have incredible patience and gentleness with us and love for us. They love us more than we can possibly even fathom as a human being.
I think that's fascinating, too, that you work with people and actually help them be able to reach out to their guardian angels and spirit guides. You know, like, realistically, though, when it comes time to do this, you really are merging science and the spiritual. You know, we are becoming the vehicle ourselves, really. We are becoming the channel, so to speak. So I guess this is where my next question comes in. So, like, are you a bit of a medium yourself, Robbie? Or is this something more of like something you think everyone can do? Like, is this a special gift? Is this something everyone can do if they practiced?
Like, well, I'm a medium. I didn't know that. It took me quite a while to recognize that. And it also took me a while to develop that. I think when Gary passed, my husband passed, he, I think, was helping from the other side to help me develop this. And showing up every morning at 8 o'clock was one way to certainly get my attention. But I've ended up developing this. So I still work with Gary, but I work with him from the other side. He's part of my team, if you will. And so he helps me, and he helps in a number of different ways, especially in the healing realms. But so I am a medium in that I have the ability to communicate to the other side of the veil. And it's every person is clairsentient. Whether you're really have developed that or expanded it, every single person is clairsentient. That means you have this guidance and you feel it in your gut. It's that instinct. It's that sixth sense. That's how we feel it with our body, especially the solar plexus area. Some people might get, you know, goosebumps, or, you know, they just feel something in the pit of their stomach, or they feel a warmth. Everybody's different, but every single person is clairaudient. Clairsentient. There are people out there that do hear them and see them, but most people don't have that ability. And so I think a lot of people get frustrated that they're like, well, I've been talking to my guides and angels, but nobody shows up. I'm not hearing anything. They're not responding. It's very unlikely that you will see them or hear them. That's quite unusual. But if you pay attention and you start developing that intuition, you will start feeling that guidance, that inner guidance. That's that GPS system. So that's something that we have that we can develop. But it's important to know that they will respond to you. When you ask for something, they will respond to you, but they're going to do so according to the highest and best good of all, because they're governed by laws. They have to pay it. They cannot move outside these certain laws, spiritual laws, natural laws, just as two examples right there. They will respond every time, but they're going to do so according to the highest good of all and your soul's intentions. So you can say, for instance, thank you for helping me win the lottery, but that won't happen if it's not your soul's intention, which it probably isn't, but they can bring you abundance in other ways. It doesn't have to come in the form of a lottery. So they work within the constraints of what the soul wants you to experience and what the soul wants you to go through and experience and evolve around in this lifetime.
I think it's really, really just shocking there. You know, it's funny. You said so much in those 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But one thing that really, really just stuck in my brain that time was when you said there was laws to this. They all have their own guidance system, so to speak, they have to follow. And that's something that I always truly believed. I wrote in my own book that I do believe that there's communication with the spirit realm. I do believe it can bleed over and it can be picked up by devices. And when I say spirit, I mean ghosts, paranormal type stuff. I'm not talking about guardian angels who I don't think you can talk to, really, unless you have that, you know, unique gift. This is more like the spirit guide slash ghost type thing. And with the laws I definitely have seen is that, you know, despite what popular movies have, most stuff I've captured is very subtle and would be very much directed towards me in real time. And, you know, I always feel like there must be a reason because never, ever have I caught on my recorders, I'm an angel, I'm a ghost, I'm this. This is what I am. This is how it all works. We're kind of kept in the dark, so to speak, with the light. And I think it's really interesting to know that there's somebody who governs over the guardian angels and spirit guides as well, that they can't really interfere, so to speak. Hence the reason why they can't just show up in front of you.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So would you?
And also ancestors too. You'll have loved ones who have passed over, who will sort of pop in and out and guide you and protect you. Again, the guardian angels are the gatekeepers. They will make sure that, you know, you don't get, they're kind of monitoring that sort of thing. But, I think it would be worth saying to the listeners, talk to your loved ones who have passed over. You're not keeping them from anything. They can bilocate, as I'm sure you're aware, John. They can bilocate and be in many places at the same time. So you're not keeping them from anything. It's not harming them to ask them to step up. But I think it's important to recognize angels are a little different in that they have not incarnated as in a and had a human life. They don't need to. This is like a school. They are so far beyond. There's no point in it. Now, they can take on briefly a physical form if they choose to. And there's so many stories. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have those stories where angels have taken on a physical form and assisted them and helped them. But they don't need to do that. Now, spirit guides, on the other hand, have had many, many lifetimes. They have reached a very high level of consciousness, of evolvement, and they have chosen to come back to be of service. So, but they have had a human life. And then you get ancestors, loved ones who have passed over. And you might even have, believe it or not, ancestors that you've never met before that still have a connection to you. You know, maybe a great-grandmother, a great-grandfather. And they will, you know, come in and guide you and protect you sometimes. And some people pick up on that, some people don't. But yes, you have a lot of help available to you from the other side.
There's no doubt that, you know, to be honest with you, it was only really the start of this school year, this September, that I've been home alone a little bit more than usual because my kids are finally all at school. God love them. My two biological kids are, my youngest just started kindergarten. And my foster child, she goes to school. And my middle child, of course, she's 11. So she's in school as well. But this is probably the first time in 5 years where I actually got some free time, like during the daytime. And like, I can honestly say, like, when they're all gone and stuff like that, I don't feel lonely in my house. I feel like there's people here. I feel there's people around. And I've always had that feeling. I never had that in my other house, though. So I think that's really interesting.
That is interesting, yeah.
Do you feel too, like...
Here's what I'm getting about that, John. My guides are telling me right now it's because you're also more tuned in.
Yeah. Okay. Probably a little bit. I would imagine so, yeah. I kind of have no choice. It's funny. You step away from the actual pursuit of the paranormal, right, and kind of delve more into the research part and then the communication stuff like me and you are doing right now.
Right.
And you're constantly thinking in the back of your mind, huh, let's do a ghost hunting sometime. I wonder how many times I've managed to capture, not just the spirits here, but you know, is it possible for a guardian angel or spirit guide to talk to you directly through a device? Do you think? Like it's a pretty loaded question I got for you.
That's easy enough for me to ask, right? I mean, it's up to them whether they tell me. Let me just ask them. Yes, it is. It is possible.
I had a wonderful experience with guardian angels before, and I do believe it was guardian angels because this little girl was. I believe, had an attachment of some sort. Basically, I got called to this house to go in and investigate. This little girl had seen a picture on her fridge and said, "That's my grandmother." And the lady who owned the house said, "Yep, that's your grandmother." And then she looked over at other pictures who she's never seen before and say, "Oh, and that's my great grandmother. She's in my dreams all the time. She helps protect me."
Yeah.
This little girl was only 4 or 5 at the time. So, you know, we didn't think much on it until she started having these really bad night terrors. And basically, it was around that time that picture went up in the fridge. And then suddenly she started talking about dreaming of, you know, Nanny and Poppy coming to rescue me, yet she's never laid eyes on them, didn't know the picture. She's only a little girl, could describe them very vividly. When I got called to the house, I thought it was so cool, Robbie. Like, here comes Egon from the Ghostbusters to come to the house. Cool, angels, yay, something happy. I love happy stuff. Yeah. It's a positive thing to look into.
Yeah.
And, you know, we asked those simple questions, like, is there somebody here? Is there somebody protecting? And, like, I can remember getting many, many EVPs of things like, mean no harm, here to protect, please. One of them was, please spend your time elsewhere, basically, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was so interesting. I definitely had a run in. Like, that was a very positive experience, though, and it kind of validated the mom in that situation too. So she was pleased that not every paranormal investigation is always about the oogie boogie. Sometimes it's more like, just trying to get to the bottom of what's really going on there. She was having some pretty vicious, violent type dreams too, like real night terrors, I would say. Like, if a child wakes up screaming.
You bring up a good point, though, that a lot of our ancestors or loved ones who have passed over will communicate. The most common way for them to communicate is through dreams. It's rare that it's violent like that. I mean, that, there's something else going on with that. But they will communicate through dreams, and you can call them vivid dreams. People remember them. They're just different. They have this real clear connection of talking to them or seeing them through their dreams. That's a very easy way for them to communicate. And vivid dreams are a little different. You just feel differently about it in the morning, and you remember it. It stays with you, whereas most dreams go away after a very short period of time.
That's
a very common way.
I have no dream recall whatsoever. Like, none.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like none. So, like, if I remember a dream, it's because it's absolutely terrifying. There's like,
oh wow,
yeah. And like,
but you don't remember, like, if you wake up during the middle of the night, you don't. There's not like
nothing.
You're not awakening from it. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, not a thing. And I don't know. Maybe I smoked too much weed when I was in high school. I don't know. Maybe
fried that part of your brain.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I fried my angel detector. Great. Let's talk a little tiny bit about, you say you have healing sessions and stuff like that. So if let's say you were about to work with someone like, say, me, who comes and see you and, okay, I'd like to work on this thing where I can't remember my dreams, or I'd like to work on my arthritic knee and stuff like that. So how would you go about with that? Because you've got a pretty interesting point of view. Not only do you have the whole angel thing, but you also have, you know, Dr. Holtz's ideas too. So this should be pretty interesting. How do you work with people, I guess, is a good question. Loaded question.
Well, first of all, we have this amazing healing spirit team that I work with, and they are the ones that tell me whether I can work with somebody or not. That's the first thing is. And Gary did the same thing when he came back from the Outback. He started doing these sort of things as well. So they're the ones doing the work. I'm the translator for them, so to speak. And I usually just do 1 hour with people. That's all they need to get the information they need, to get the clarity they need. And then the team will continue to help them, and the spirit team will continue to work with them as long as they want their assistance, which I highly recommend. But so I usually do 1 hour, and it's enough for people to understand. I mean, my big passion, John, is getting this information out. And so this is why I've written the last 2 books about angels, is because I wanted to put it in this so that you don't have to have a one-on-one consult. This information is available, how to connect, how to recognize their help, how to develop that relationship with them. It's all in those books. And it's about – so what I would do is I would connect to them. Connect to the team. I would talk to somebody over the phone, or I do an awful lot with around the world. So I get people from all over, and we do computers. And then I would talk to them, talk to their team. They've got their own team, right? And my team is also giving me information. So it's about helping people. My thing is helping people where they're getting stuck. whether it's with their health, their emotions, their career. But, you know, let's get them unstuck. Let's help them shift out of these fears and these struggles. And also, once they understand why some of these things have happened to them, it's a lot easier for them to let go. So that's, you know, when you understand what your soul really wants you to sort of experience and master in this lifetime, that's information they give me. That's a lot more helpful for somebody because they understand, you know, okay, and now it makes sense to me. You know, so that's one of the things that I do.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
Welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland. Thank you so much for taking the time once again to listen to your favorite paranormal variety show. Now, before we went to break, I kind of mentioned that we had a little something for you guys. How would you guys like a free report? Three keys to unlocking your ability to self-heal with the author, Robbie Holtz, who happens to be my guest tonight. HTTP, guys, www.holzwellness.com, HOLZWELLNESS.com. Okay, check it out. You'll be able to find all kinds of information on Robbie there. You'll also be able to get in for your healing sessions if you want to go in, which we're going to talk a little bit more about now. And of course, you can get that free report, Three Keys to Unlocking Your Ability to Self-Heal. Oh my God, I would love to self-heal right now. How do I self-heal putting on 15 pounds because, you know, I'm stressed out for the pandemic? How do I self-heal? My wife is mad at me all the time. I know. How do I self-heal? I can't sleep anymore.
Yeah, and especially the pandemic 15 or whatever they're calling that, right?
Only 15? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Skip the dishes.
Yeah. Well, you've got three kids, right? You've got three kids, so that's, you know, you're probably running around more than most. So.
I would. You'd be surprised how much food gets eaten by us. It's insane.
Like, I bet.
We are a small army, and Newfoundlanders are big eaters anyway. So.
Small army.
Yep.
I love that. Yeah, but what a blessing though, right? You know,
it's pretty wild to see them adapt better to the pandemic than I am, and I think that's one thing about this generation of children that's coming up. You know, they really are special, and they're going to have a very interesting outlook on life, and I think they're going to be much more appreciative of that private alone time, which is something that we've lost over the last 20 years with the advent of, you know, technology. I believe, Robbie, I think Robbie, maybe we can agree on this one. Maybe technology is a good thing in a lot of ways, but it's very bad to the soul, so to speak. It keeps us away from people and from tribes. So I think you're going to see a return to that very, very soon, which is something me and you were talking about on the break, actually. Everyone's all doom and gloom about this pandemic. I think when we're on the other side of this thing, we're looking at a great big boom in population and economics.
You know, like you were talking about the social media and all that sort of thing and the phones and all that, it's always about balance, isn't it?
Yes.
It's about recognizing where the balance is. And that's also going to make a difference with your health, with your emotions, with everything, is having that balance.
I find, too, like lately, social media has just been such a great friend to me. I mean, I'm doing everything with this thing. I'm making podcasts. I'm kind of, you know, counting my calories now because I'm finally in like a weight loss phase of my regimen, which is, you know, God, why did I start this for Christmas? What was I thinking? And then there's like, there's this other part too where I can connect to people just like you. So I guess I got to ask a couple of basic questions just so people will know what they are going to be in for if they go for a healing session with you.
Sure.
Sounds to me like these aren't exactly done in person.
No, I don't do those in person anymore. I'm kind of up in this little island up in the San Juan. But it doesn't matter. What I've just learned over the time with the guides and angels, the team that I work with, is it doesn't matter whether they're in Germany or Australia or, you know, Canada or Washington State. The energy is the same.
I get it. So your guides, your team, so to speak, you can't see me doing the air quotes right now. Because we're on radio. But
okay.
Your team, can see me right now and who's around me and communicate with who's around me right now, correct?
Right, right. And that's why they told you earlier when you were in that house, it was much easier for you to communicate. And they said it's because he's more, you've expanded that ability more.
Okay, cool.
That came from them.
That was it. Oh, okay. I didn't clue into that at all.
Yeah.
I think I owe you $60 an hour now. Great.
No. But so they were communicating with your angels.
Gotcha.
Okay, and that's where that information came from. That's what they were telling me is yes, because you developed those abilities more.
Uh-oh. So you mean to tell me that right now you could ask them questions and they can relay it onto your guides and tell you, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So anything you want to tell me, Robbie?
Well, let me ask them. Okay. Well, you have two guardian angels, John.
Cool.
They have, you know, because I like the way, nobody's asked me that before. I like how you said, are they girl angels or boy angels? You have two that have male energy to them. Okay. You would think of them as, you know, boys, I guess. And I'm doing the air quotes for you here. So, Yeah. Who love you tremendously, and they want to help, you know, more. They all want to help more. So, but because it's a free will planet, we have to be invited to assist them, you know, beyond their guardianship roles. And so it's simply a matter of asking in your head, they're telepathic to your thoughts, ask them to help you more with whatever it is, the weight loss. And let me tell you, they've helped me with that. The career, the family, how to be a better parent, how to, you know, get the podcast out there, whatever. Allow them to help you with that. So invite them, because they've told me it's like working on your own at 5 amps of power. When you bring in their assistance, it's like now you're operating at 5,000 amps of power. Huge difference. And we're all worthy of this. It's not like some people are worthy and some people aren't. And we were also designed to be taking advantage of this help. It's just that some people choose not to and some people do. But once you start using it, it's a big game changer. And that's another reason I wanted to get this information out, is so people would learn how to please ask away. Ask them more, big, small, vague, specific, as often as you want. But please ask.
Can they?
Then they're allowed to step in.
Can they relay any information to you right now that would help me either to be able to identify them? Like, I'd like to know who they are.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just ask them how they communicate, how you can pick up on them. Okay. So, John, you are, like I was saying earlier, you're clairsentient, where you feel their guidance. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're not wired or programmed to see them or hear them, you know, like I am at the moment, but you can, I would certainly ask them to help you develop that ability more. Okay. So that you recognize, because a lot of times they're helping and communicating this, but most people miss it. So ask them to help you recognize it more. All right. And that's why, you know, in the books, the last two books about the angels, I put in a lot of examples of how they communicate to you, how they help you, how it's easier to develop that relationship and work with them so that you can, you know, release these struggles and attain these desires. Let them help you with that. So, yeah, I would ask them to help you develop that. By all means, put that in. They would love to help you with that.
Okay. So I really feel like I got a channel to the powers that could be here. This is awesome.
Well, you do too. You do too. I just, you know, mine's just probably more immediate.
This is amazing. Okay.
Time.
So, oh my God, I got so many questions I want to ask, but we're running out of time. Oh man. Okay. I'll get one more question. Okay. Is that okay with you? Are you comfortable with that?
Course.
Okay, Robbie, I'm going to ask one more question. Oh, that's my kitty cat. Apparently the kitty cat also wants to ask a question.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions. Are we on the right track with my current career? Could that be one we could ask?
I just asked them. They said yes.
Oh, well, this is even faster than I thought.
They'll answer me before I even finish asking the question, because they know what you're going to ask, right? But they said, yes, you are on the right track.
Oh, my God.
And now if you ask them, they'll help you with that, okay?
Cool.
Because, you know, I asked at one point, what's the highest vision of my soul? And I got to write a couple books, and I just about freaked out because I hate to write. And I don't know how to write. But I was designed to do this. But with their help, John, I was able to – now I just finished the fourth book. The first two are in – a number of languages, read in 43 countries, having won awards. Now, there's no way, John, I could do that on my own, right? But it was my soul's intention to go down this path, and so that's why it happened and it unfolded with their assistance. And you are on the right track as well.
I think, too, like in those situations, it'd be so nice to have – well, I used to call them God winks. You know, you're in
lovely.
The – I always call it God winks, as if God's winking at you to let you know everything's okay and where you're to. Like,
yeah.
There'd be little things that only you would notice. Like,
yeah.
I remember one day, like, this was shortly after watching Forrest Gump, and, like, I was making fun of it all the time with my buddy, and we were, like, blowing feathers in the air. I don't know if you remember Forrest Gump, the movie, but, like...
I do. I love that show.
Okay, can you remember the opening where, like, the feather's flying around, and then...
Yes.
At the end of the movie, the feather flies off. Like, the feather is, like, this thing that... Like,
yeah.
Basically, we're the guardian angel watching over Forrest. I think that's what the main takeaway of the feather is. But anyway, that's
right.
Beside the point. So I was making fun.
And people relate to feathers. That's why sometimes they will use feathers as a way to just say, hi, we're here. You know, you'll see pennies or you'll see feathers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Another way.
Which is what I was going to ask you, like this whole dimes thing. Like, what's going on there? Because my wife finds dimes all the time. And like, we even have a jar that says dimes from heaven on it. Like, this is a thing. This is a part of our culture now. These little tiny.
All right, well, let me ask them that, okay? Okay. Okay, that is a deceased loved one.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I would ask them to help reveal who, if she doesn't know who that is, it's somebody who, let me see if they'll answer that. She knows them. They've passed on. That's their way of communicating. Now, see, Gary would, hummingbirds were sort of a sign for him. He wasn't the hummingbird. He was just, you know, that was just one of the ways that I knew, okay, that's a message for him. That's a hello from him. For her, it's the dime from this loved one who's passed over.
Cool. Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Man, this has just been such a fun conversation. Like, love this so very much. I know we didn't talk a whole lot about Christmas and the holidays and stuff like that, but, you know, angels to me is just, what can I say? There's an angel on top of my tree right now. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, where does,
let's talk about Jesus
for a second. Like, where does Jesus fit in with all this? Because, you know, one thing that we are taught, or at least that he has said apparently, was, you know, no one goes to the Father but through me. And it sounds to me like... Well, that sounds awful familiar. It kind of sounds like angels and how we talk to our spirit guides and stuff like that. So what's your vision on Seems House's birthday? Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, and I completely understand about, you know, Jesus and all that sort of thing. I mean, I believe in that. I mean, the presence of Jesus is just so incredibly powerful with love. But let me just say that the angels are typically messengers. There's a lot of different forms that come in the way of help, and angels can be messengers, that help, that assist with God or Jesus. It's just they're there to assist, and they're there to help you. It's up to you whether you want to, you know, implore assistance from Jesus or God or the angels. That's fine. Doesn't matter. But I just want you to know that there is an angel walking by your side who is designed to be there from your first breath to your last. And it's lovely that in the holidays, in the Christmas time, angels are a little bit more in people's minds. Otherwise, we tend to forget about that. So, yeah, have that angel at the top of the tree. And don't just put it away at the end of, you know, after the holidays and forget about that angel. That's why people say, I just forget about them. It's like, well, then buy a little statue or buy a picture or something that helps you, or put the dimes out on the counter. Remember, there's a lot of loving assistance from the other side, you know, or whether it's an angel or it's Jesus or whatever, but remember to ask. It's a free will planet. They can't just step in and intervene beyond certain rules and laws.
Okay, there's no such thing as stupid questions, right?
Absolutely. I love those, especially, but there aren't any stupid questions.
What do my guardian angels want for Christmas from me? I have to know. I have no idea what to get them. I know there's two of them. I know they're both men. Like, what do they want? Tell the truth.
Okay. All right. I didn't say men. I said male energy.
There's male energy. Okay.
Okay. They want to help you. Because here's the thing. They're here to help mankind. And as they help us shift into more love, shift out of this mind stuff that's imprisoning us, right? The pain and struggle that we're going through a lot more than we need to. As you shift out of that mind stuff and shift more into love. It's either fear-based or it's love-based, right? That is benefiting everyone. And here's the cool part, John, this is what I love about this. As you allow them to assist you, as you ask them to help you more, that enables them to grow because they're serving you out of tremendous love. So as they're allowed to serve you out of tremendous love more, that enables them to grow and evolve. So it's this beautiful symbiotic relationship that we're designed to take advantage of if you want, but it's a free will planet. You don't have to, but it's this win-win. As they assist you, they're also allowing to move and evolve with that as well. So it's a ask away.
Speaking of tremendous love, I'd like to just pour a little bit on you right now. Thank you so very much, Robbie, for taking the time to come on our show. We are out of time. Guys, check her out at holzwellness.com, HOLZWELLNESS.com. She's the author of, well, quite a few books, actually. I mean, this is wild. Like, she's got a few, and I kind of want to read them to you guys once more before I go, okay? Check out Vibrant Living, Braving the Pandemic with Help from Your Guardian Angel by Robbie Holtz. Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening by Robbie Holtz, A Journey of Healing and Spirituality with a Remote Australian Tribe. There's also the other book too as well, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing by Dr. Holtz, her late husband, A Physicist's Journey with a Remote Australian Tribe. And just for the holidays, why don't you check it out? There's not just angels on top of your tree. Check out The Angels in Waiting, How to Reach Out to Your Guardian Angels and Spirit Guides by, of course, tonight's wonderful guest, Robbie Holtz. Thank you so very much for being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Thanks, John. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.